The Sour Hour is meant for the serious brewer. The Sour Hour may contain some seriously funkified content. The Sour Hour is not for the faint of heart. So exercise some damn discretion, would you please? Sheesh. And now, here's the Sour Hour with Jay Goodwin.
All right. It's that time. We're back, Scott.
Finally.
Making it under the wire in May. Barely.
This is our MO lately. We're recording shows on like the last day of the month.
Yeah, we'll try better for June. Although, I don't know where we're looking for dates in June right now.
Well, I feel accomplished because I just posted another show last night. I'm scratching away trying to catch up. So
that must have been our last show, the mailbag show.
It was. It was part one of the mailbag show.
Awesome. Well, full intro. Welcome to the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network. I'm your host, Jay, it says here. Brewing Network Studios in downtown Concord. Scott's here. You already heard from Scott. Hey,
hello.
Scott.
Hey.
And Beverly's here, too.
Hello.
Hey, Bebo.
New co-host, Bebo. We decided that she is the official. She wanted to be on the branding of the intro, if you remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sour Hour with Jay Goodwin and Beverly Moore.
But she needed her own, like, she needed to start doing work, basically.
I actually had to, I had to start listening to the show. I had to keep my headphones on.
Because now there's a whole thing with Bebo. Called
More Information.
More Information with Beverly Moore. And are we going to do this now?
Yeah.
Oh,
not the actual segment, just this.
Well, that's good because I haven't found any information.
We haven't said any information yet, so we're
and
good.
And now, more information with me, Beverly Moore. Oh, I sound so nice.
Is that the more you know from NBC?
No, it's from the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network.
Definitely not from that, yeah. Okay, look forward to that. So hopefully we'll get in some nuggets tonight. Do I just never notice how the intro just keeps going on and on?
I like to keep it bad at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I cut my teeth, you know, on like K-Rock in the mid-90s. There was a bed under everything all the time, man.
I don't know why. Just in the last 6 months of shows, it gets on my nerves if it keeps going too long. Is that weird?
No, actually, that's a common thing where hosts are like, would you turn the music down, please? That happens all the time.
Yeah,
with the
I'm trying to
beds.
Say awesome stuff. Yeah, turn it down in the back. Yeah. That part of the song's pretty cool, though.
The whole song's cool. Yeah. It's your song, dude.
Mm-hmm.
This came from you.
True.
It gets a little wonky here, though.
I never heard this part.
It turns into a horror movie. 20 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
On with the show.
Time to move on. Special show tonight, Scott. You know why?
Why?
Because every show is special, but this one's special because we have in studio guests JC, Andrew, Candace from Yeast of Eden / Alvarado Street Brewery.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Candace.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I love the long, extended, dramatic lean in toward the mic.
She was about 5 feet away from the microphone. Yeah. So.
We'll get comfortable, guys. We got a lot of beers to try, beers to drink. You guys bought a whole truckload, literally, because we all rode the truck together.
It took
about
an hour to offload all that.
Yeah. But we're really excited. Great brewers, great beers. We've been lucky to have them over the Rare Barrel and hung out on several occasions and love hanging out with you guys and love your beers. So it's great
to
have.
Love your beers too. This is an honor.
Thank you. But yeah, we'll get into some beer information as well. But certainly a treat for us that we get to be the ones drinking the beer today. Right, Scott?
That's right. And I think we even have it on tap here in the Brewing Network Studios.
Oh, really?
Question mark?
The headquarters?
Do we?
You guys can tap beers here. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. On our keezer.
I don't know anything about that. If you want to join in and not also get beer at the Brewing Network studios? No, I don't know. Contact us. Call us 888-401-BEER. Bevo, co-host, will pick up the phone.
Sure, I will.
Okay.
With no sarcasm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing.
feedback, scott@thebrewingnetwork.com, jay@thebrewingnetwork.com. You can watch us at thebrewingnetwork.com/TV, now on Twitch. No, not on Twitch yet.
No, I'm on Twitch in a different channel.
JC's already starting the poker talk.
No, I'm not. No, you can continue. I'll plug it later.
Okay. He does watch these poker people on Twitch. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what Twitch is?
No.
It's like a platform where people watch other people playing video games, twitch.tv. Anyway, people play poker on it, and I commentate on the people that play poker on it on my other channels. Yeah,
dude, teach
for
me.
Fun.
Anytime, man. People always say that, but no one's actually ever interested.
Wrong podcast, yeah. We'll sit down. We'll sit at the table soon. Listen live, Brewing Network app, search BN Mobile, subscribe to this podcast, and please leave feedback. Have you guys listened to the show? Have you ever left feedback?
Negative.
No, okay. That's fine. You made it to the show.
We're
so
just moochers. We take. We don't give.
You gave us some beer today, so that's good enough. Leave feedback for us. Ask for a song to go with your review, and you can be part of this next segment. Review of the
Fortnite,
even though now Fortnite, that's like a whole different thing. So review of the week.
I'm playing Fortnite. That's a good Twitch reference. That's big on Twitch, Fortnite.
Yeah.
Okay.
I played for the first time this past weekend.
And?
I did very well. Except all you have to really do is just, you get dropped in this place, and it's like you've got a gun, and you kill all the other people.
Yeah, you're hunting humans.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a great message to send. So I just hide. I find somewhere, I run, and I hide.
Defense wins championships.
Man. Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like in the final three the first time I played, and then I'm in like the final five the second time. But I didn't like even fire my gun. But no, you know, I'm like the Gandhi of Fortnite.
You're a pacifist.
I run into people and I'm like, hey man, let's talk
it's
about
cool.
this.
It's cool. We can just be diplomatic, right?
Yeah. So that's my Fortnite game.
You could totally enter a poker tournament and just fold your way to the final table. I don't get involved.
Scott, you're a pro. You know how much pros fold versus, you know, home games.
Yeah, I only say that half jokingly. There's a lot to be gained by just running and hiding.
Gotta keep it tight.
Yeah.
You know?
Gotta keep it
maybe
tight.
Steal a blind every once in a while, that's but mostly good. You keep
Ooh,
it tight.
Ooh, down with the industry lingo.
What's up?
Wow. Not just an expert in beer making. So this is a review of the Fortnite is from Gabe. Gabe keeps it tight, too, out there in Virginia. From Fine Creek Brewing, Gabe sent us a whole bunch of beer, some beautifully
packaged. Look at that packaging,
beer. I don't really see packaging like this. It's kind of it's like a blank, large format corking cage, but the bottle's blank, but it's sort of wrapped in like a gift papery
paper.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, Gabe said he included a note in his very generous care package full of awesome beer. Thanks again, Gabe. He says, thanks for creating one of the best brewing podcasts there is. This is just like written on a piece of paper with a Sharpie. And he said, P.S. Song request, Overpowered by Funk by The Clash. So first off, Gabe not only sent a ton of beer.
Yes, check.
Gabe also invented a whole new way to submit a review of the week by including a piece of paper with a written song request in your package of beer.
We still need it translated to the iTunes review or the Apple Podcast review, whatever.
Oh, yeah,
because
I guess that's the point.
We don't get credit for that.
Right, yeah, we don't.
But we get the beer, so thank you, Gabe, and go check out Fine Creek when you're in Virginia.
Yes, indeed. So, Overpowered by Funk by The Clash.
Let's hear a
little something like this. That's good.
Pretty funky.
What do you think? Could you intro the show over this?
And we're back. This is Sour Hour on the Brewing Network.
I like that.
I like everything turns into like Slow Jams 105 when you do that.
You're with Yeast of Eden, drinking these great beers.
Down with the funk.
All right. Thanks, Gabe, for the request and these beers, man. Really generous. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Gabe. And yeah, go visit him, Fine Creek Brewing. Yeah, we already mentioned last show was the mailbag show. Go check that out. That was a lot of fun. And since the last show, Nashville Craft Brewers Conference, great time out there. Lots of good friends to see. Good hangs. Nashville's a great city, so shout out to all the Nashville brewers who did a great job hosting all the brewers out there for CBC. Shout out to the city of Nashville for doing a great job. We also went to a Milk the Funk hangout session. That was pretty cool to see a lot of listeners and fellow milkers of the funk, I guess. Is that is that a thing?
Fellow milkers.
People in the Milk the Funk community. So great seeing, you know, putting a lot of faces to names out there. And yeah, and then World Beer Cup, and that was awesome. Big news coming back from that, of course.
Huge.
Was the gold medal for Alvarado Street in the double rack category. Right.
What about the rare barrel?
Amazing.
You guys had more entries in your category, so you guys did a lot better.
JC, I'm not done.
Please. You guys both won medals. Jay picked up a bronze.
Yeah, it kind of looks like gold if you're far enough away, but these guys got gold, so.
And then, oh, sorry, what did you say the category was, boys?
Double red. Hoppy red ale that we make. Local shred red.
Red.
So yeah. There's single red and double red, two categories?
There's actually three red categories. There's American Amber, and then double red ale, and then there's Imperial red ale. Did a little reading, so I was like, oh, that double red, that could work.
You really went out on a limb, started reading.
It was a little rusty at first.
It was a terrific accomplishment. Congratulations. I want to put some numbers on this, though. What were the how many entries in your category?
40-something, I think.
Honestly, don't remember.
There were more in Jay's category.
And Jay, yeah, how many? You won in...
Like 300
American
or something.
American Sour Beer?
Yeah, I have no...
500?
No,
maybe?
What?
600?
No way. No. I seriously don't know. But you know what? If your beer is the best, it wins gold, and... I'm not trying to just like deflect back and forth with ping pong, but that's a big deal, especially where there's, you know, international judges. And so big ups
to you
guys.
We were stoked. Yeah. Man. Thank you. Yeah.
It was awesome. A lot of friends went up on stage, and I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. I mean, I sort of can, but maybe just one I want to single out is Society Brewing Company winning gold for the mixed culture category. In their sour beer, The Thief, which is a white wine grape sour beer. And I agree. It's phenomenal beer. And, you know, when you're sitting in the crowd and you're kind of like, you know, you're not in most of the categories, right? So it's just, you're just kind of watching and you're like, oh shit, I've had that beer. Yeah. I like that beer. And
cheer
it's
on
fun.
Your buds. Yeah.
It's a really fun experience. So that's awesome.
Hey, motherfuckers, this is Doug from fucking Society. You're listening to the session on the fucking Brewing Network. Fuck you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Props to Doug. Drug.
Drugs.
Dougie.
Doug.
The man.
And Travis. And all the great people down at Society Brewing Company. Can't wait to see your faces in just a couple days at the Firestone Walker Invitational Beer Festival.
Or at least just drink your beer.
Hey, I'm going to that too.
Oh yeah, I was wondering
my
who's
first
coming
time.
Down. Really? Oh, good. Who's are you in there? RV or no?
It'll be Justin, Warren, Beardy, Sam, and myself.
All right,
cool.
So we're gonna go back to back to back to back
RVs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rare Barrel Society Brewing Network, and you guys.
The Rooks.
And then to back because Warren's also bringing an RV.
Oh, separate.
Oh, I heard Warren got an RV.
Yeah, I think it's just his backup plan in case he ever has to move out of his house.
Oh, I thought he had got it instead of his house. He still has a house?
No. Oh,
okay.
Can you ask him to steal a keg of Old Fashions from Loma?
Yes, I can.
Because they put Old Fashions on tap.
Really?
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I remember because there were Old Fashions on tap.
They just muddle a lot of like orange. I wonder how handmade whatever's in that keg is.
I'm a connoisseur of the Old Fashioned.
You
so,
sure?
I mean, obviously, I think you have like the simple syrup in the keg. You have the bourbon. You have the bitters. And then all you need is the
little
citrus.
Zest.
Yeah. So you just put all the liquid parts in the keg, pour it off, zest it fresh, and then boom city.
So you muddle that in the glass and then just pour the rest right
see,
from
I'm
the keg?
I'm not a muddler, though.
Oh.
There's like the old school, Old Fashioned classic, which is like the shitty Old Fashioned, in my opinion, with like tons of ice and the cherry in there.
Right.
Fuck that noise. No. All booze, one huge clear ice cube, and then the zest. What do you guys think?
That's how you do it, for sure.
That's how you Old Fashioned
Less
it.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Bevo's giving the Bevo. Slow clap.
What's your preferred bourbon?
You like a Bullet Rye?
You know, I like the Bullet Bourbon better.
Yeah, okay. Just the regular bourbon.
Boy, I don't get too much fancier than that. If I do, then I'll drink it just straight.
Yeah. We had some Four Roses we really liked. It was pretty good.
Nice. Well, we only got two roses here. Bevo wasn't listening. All right. What else since the last show, Scott? I don't know. Any other news? You know, big personal things?
Well, I do have a funny little anecdote that I think this show's subscribers will enjoy, because of course they love you and your brand, Jay, and the Rare Barrel. If they've been there, they know what a cool place it is. If they have only heard it on the show, they can only imagine. So I want to give you Imaginers.
Sorry, I'm just sliding you the $20 for that. Thank you.
It's $40. How the Rare Barrel works on a random weeknight where my brother and his girlfriend were in town a couple of weeks ago, and Danik and we all went to the city. We saw some art, and then we were on our way back. We're like, well, we know the Rare Barrel's not open I think it was a Monday or Tuesday, but maybe Jay's there, and you know, maybe, because my brother, in all these years, for I couldn't believe it, he'd never been to the Rare Barrel. So I called you up, and you were like, yeah, come on down, you know, we're here. And so I just figured I was going to walk in, it's going to be like super quiet. I was going to come into your office, and you were just going to be like, you know, working on a computer. We walk in, and there's 12, 15 people. You know, it's staff. It's some new faces I don't recognize. They've got a cornhole tournament set up. Their entire stand-up bar from front to back is lined with not large format cork and cage, but like, what are the magnums? Is that what they call the giant?
3 liter.
The 3 liters. A line of them. There was probably 10 mm-hmm. or so of those. And so the cornhole, they've got the Warriors game. They've like dragged a little portable TV out into the middle of this, because there are no TVs in the Rare Barrel. But they had brought one out, so the Warriors playoff game was on, and they're playing cornhole. They've got a million other bottles of everything open, Santia Darius and Society, and all these bottles that you know somebody
East
rated.
Of Eden,
East of
which was open.
Was there? Oh, I missed nice. That one. I tried to work my way through almost everything, but I somehow missed that. But somebody raided a cellar and had spread everything out. But of course, there was still pouring off the taps, because you couldn't. I guess the bottle wasn't enough. Okay, anyway, that was a Monday night at the Rare Barrel. So the rumors are true.
Good. That's not what I was asking about, but okay. You don't have to talk about
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, I'm engaged.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Should we do a question?
Yeah.
Break?
Go ahead.
Question. Is that? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that?
Go ahead.
And all questions are brought to you by Dr. Lambic and his team at sourbeerblog.com. Now we're actually going to talk about sour beer. Check out the articles on Sour Beer Blog for a great written resource devoted to teaching you how to brew and blend sour beer at home. And now the Sour Beer Blog crew is opening up a brewery and tap room. It's new in central Pennsylvania. Check out Mellow Mink Brewing at mellowmink.com.
Okay, here is a question from Joe Darden. Joe says, I have a question about base beer. I know you are not supposed to use a bad batch of beer to sour, but my situation is unique. Well, maybe not. He doesn't really know. He says, I have a batch.
It's not unique.
Totally. I have a batch of Lager Czech Pils, which I had a temp controller fail during primary. The beer is not necessarily bad. It just has some eaters that you don't want in a lager pilsner. It's lightly fruity, like
Sorry,
a British
mild. Can we
mild
pause for a second? Mm-hmm. What's eaters? Do you guys know what that is?
I'm assuming esters.
Oh, okay.
Typo,
probably.
Yeah, S is right next to A.
Oh, I thought it meant like yeast. I thought it meant yeast, like yeast eats sugar. I thought he meant
good
yeast.
Good catch, Andrew. Yeah.
Esters.
Yeah, I thought it was like, oh, is that like a cool new term for bacteria or something?
Right,
or
right.
Bread? Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, you're totally right. It just has some esters in there. Okay. It just has some esters in there that you do not want in a lager pilsner. He says it's lightly fruity, like a British mild without the malt. He says, I am thinking that Brett will do some cool things, and it's sitting at about 2.5 Play-Doh. Thoughts?
Andrew, lead us off.
I would never start with a bad beer, but I mean, it sounds like, why not? Just go for it. Nothing to lose, really, at this
point.
Let
it rip.
Could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the nice thing is we've kind of flipped modes back and forth on the show between home brewing and commercial brewing. And I think what you got to do is sit down, grab a beer, and then semi-seriously evaluate how much fermentation space you have, what things you're trying to accomplish going forward. Because, I mean, first, you're already brewing a lager. And this is a home brewer, is that right,
Scott? It is, yes.
So you're already, you know, time committed, so that's good. So you must have some space going around, or else you're just not brewing that frequently, which is also fine. No judgments. So, yeah, you can commit, you know, some Brettanomyces to this, put it aside. You don't need to keep it, depending on where you live. I don't know if he said in your cooler or wherever you're lagering. So, yeah, I mean, and then just let it go. If you, it's the cost of the Brett or the mixed culture, if the time is not costing you anything, go for it. But if that beer is going to prevent you from brewing one other beer that you're going to be excited about, do not do it, because it's just not worth it. You can get, Scott, pot committed, and then you just get bled out for chips.
Absolutely.
The rest of the
yeah. Then you make decisions you wouldn't have otherwise round? Made. Finally, I
What's
understand beer. This is all making sense to me now.
I'm here for you. You know, I'm here for you.
You know, you should have folded the flop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you get dealt. Oh, what's there's still got? I think there's a name for this, where you get dealt a hand that you think is good, mm-hmm. but someone else has the nuts.
Yeah, you're coolered. Yeah,
you're like coolered.
You have a strong hand. You're up against a better one.
So this guy's lagered right now.
You just got lagered by
nice.
Your beer,
Bevo. That was solid.
Good job, Dad.
Thank you.
Right. What about doing it in, like, you know, just a gallon? I think I have asked this before, but, like, you know,
oh,
just
yeah,
a gallon
like
of it or something. You
that's
know?
Good. Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. You take out. Assuming this is five,
yeah,
you know, you take out the one. That can even be just like, you know, a glass jug of apple juice that,
exactly.
you know, you got at the store and now it's
Carlos
empty.
Carlos Rossi or something, you know?
Yeah, that's how we roll, but only the finest. Yeah, so just, you know, just don't take that seriously and don't let it stop you from becoming the great brewer that I know you are.
There you go, Joe. Thanks for writing in. Good luck.
All right, break time?
Yes.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Yeast of Eden and Alvarado Street. You're listening to The Sour Hour on the Brewing Network.
Hi, this is Ryan Wheaton, the host of a new podcast called Branding Brews. Branding Brews is a show focused on marketing, branding, and design for the beer industry. I have spent over 14 years as a professional designer. As a host, I bring my knowledge to the show to interview other great beer professionals. Whether you're thinking about starting a brewery, already own a brewery, want to learn more about marketing beer, or you're a seasoned veteran, this show is for you. The show will cover topics such as rebranding a brewery, package and label design, crowdfunding, design, social media, plus much more related to promoting and creating a great beer brand. Make sure to check out the show along with useful show notes at brandingbrews.com. You can also subscribe to the Branding Brews podcast in iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Again, check us out at brandingbrews.com.
Hey, motherfuckers, this is Doug from fucking Society. You're listening to the Central fucking Brewing Network. Fuck you.
Doug, getting a lot of run on this episode. I don't know how to feel about it.
Doug from Society.
Yeah, Scott tries to, like, yell over him saying the session. I'm like, dude, our mics are off.
Mine wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was not.
I looked down. Yeah, both mics were off.
Mine was off?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, pretty sure. Can we go back and check?
Yeah, we can.
Time out.
The Sour Hour.
Oh, shit.
Sour Hour.
Fuck.
You.
Listen to the
Sour Hour.
It's the most swearing on the Sour Hour of all time in like 15 seconds. You win, Scott.
Fuck you.
Well done. Oh, welcome back. It's the Sour Hour at some point. So, yeah, Doug pumping out the session. I want to salute the other BN shows, Brew Strong, Dr. Homebrew, Brewing with Style, and what's Beardy's show?
Heads and Tails.
Heads and Tails.
And Bikes and Beer. Let's add that
oh,
to the,
yeah,
the
Bikes
notes
and Beer.
List. The new show out of Fort Collins.
I need to adjust this. Is that phone?
It's the Brewing Bevo, Network
the
Studios
phone.
Phone, but not the phone lines.
Oh, the headquarters.
Yeah, the headquarters.
The phone's ringing. No.
That's the bar phone, and I don't work here.
I know.
Actually, well, now that phone is ringing. Now the phones are ringing.
It's not going to be real.
I know.
It's not his line
too, right? Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's fine. All right. So, sorry. Anyway. But yeah, we have a, and again, we're opening more beer before our guest beer, but.
Yeah.
I want to thank another one of our great sponsors, Neshaminy Creek, because
they
came through. They sent us the beer, the famous Croydon is Burning Smoked lager.
Bronze medal winner.
Two-time GABF medal winner.
Hell yeah.
And it's very good. I love it.
It's amazing.
I want more.
Yeah. This is a gold beer. See, because these are, you know, what does everybody say about these kind of beers? Almost universally, the opinion is like, either or like, yeah, I like them, but, you know, I don't really want more than a couple ounces. Right. Yeah, right, dude. I can drink a pint of this for sure.
Yeah, easy. So go check them out. Their tasting room.
Opened 2 years ago?
Opened probably like three springs ago. So check them out on ShamneyCreekBrewing.com.
New, spring 2015. This beer is awesome. Jeremy, thanks for saying. Actually, we have other flavors too. So as the show goes on, if we can, maybe we should just not drink any yeast of Eden beer.
Yeah, we'll that sounds
drink
good.
Other people's beer this whole show.
What else is on tap here at the headquarters?
We've got a great list.
One keg of yeast of Eden just tapped. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. So speaking of yeast of Eden, guys. What's the deal? So, wait, you're Alvarado
what is
Street.
The deal? Yeah.
But you're also Yeast of Eden. I don't understand. Please explain.
So, yeah, Andrew and I, and soon just to be straight up Andrew, very quickly, we started filling barrels when we opened Alvarado Street in 2014, just at our brew pub, and decided that we wanted to sort of just create a separate brand for these beers. They were just way different, obviously much more complex, mixed fermentation beers, lactic acid bacteria, Brett, just lots of different stuff going on. So we just figured we would create the separate brand. And when we opened Salinas in...
Where's that?
Our Salinas production facility, we opened about
it's in California.
Yeah, it's about 30 minutes away from Monterey. we opened that in about 2016 and just started stockpiling barrels, and Andrew basically ran with the program, and I'll let him talk.
Yeah, so I started with Alvarado Street Brewery back in 2014, right as we were opening. I did start as a busser.
Nice.
Wasn't very
riches.
Good at it.
That is true.
So you failed.
No, he was fine.
But then worked my way up from one day a week in the brewery up to full time, and we started filling barrels at the pub early on, a few that worked out, others that didn't quite make it to finished product. And from there, we grew our mixed fermentation program. And as soon as we were able to open up in Salinas, it allowed us to truly grow. Out in Monterey at the pub, we could only fit about 10, 12 oak barrels. Once we moved out to Salinas, now we have a few fooders, about 130 wine barrels. And now it's been able to grow into its own brand and made the jump from Alvarado to East of Eden.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So, you know, you're, JC, the clean side, which I, you know, you're a clean cut guy.
I'm the clean guy.
Yeah.
Andrew's the dirty guy.
Yeah.
That's true.
I can tell.
Yeah.
That's why you sucked at busing.
No, but yeah, I mean, on Alvarado Street side, we were doing a bunch of kettle sours. And with those beers, we were just going for pure just lactic acidity and fruit and alcohol, just normal fermentation. And so we wanted to market those separately because what we're doing on the Yeast of Eden side is just so much more unique and complex and so much more going on that it really deserved its own brand.
Metal. Oh, wait, yeah. What? Oh, sorry. I was just thinking back to GABF. You know, you guys are metal award-winning brewers. Two, you know, of the most prestigious competitions in the world in a row.
Well, thank you.
Very, well, that's just very a fact. I mean, you're welcome. But
yeah. He's reporting the news.
Yeah.
We were pretty surprised, but pretty stoked. And, you know, we're pretty fired up every day to come in and have the ability to do what we do. We're pretty lucky.
I think we're the lucky ones because we've got some of your beer here open in front of us. Transition Pro.
Nice work.
Thank you.
So this first one we're drinking is Saison Apotheca. We call it our warehouse or native Saison, just fully embracing where we're at.
Wild warehouse ale.
Exactly. So it's a open fermented Saison. So about 90% of the beers produced by Yeast of Eden they go through our oak open top fooder for primary fermentation before moving to either stainless, fooders, barrels, etc. This beer open fermented in the open top with a blend of Saison yeast and our native microflora caught via cool ship for about 5-7 days, moved to a square stainless tote where it then received our house quote-unquote Brett blend, and then it proceeded to age and condition for about 4 months prior to being bottled, and here we are.
It's great. I love this beer. This has that classic sort of like Pez candy, chalky citrus thing that I kind of say on the show a lot, but can't describe, and I can trace it back to a certain mixed culture. Do you have this beer, Scott? You want to try mine?
Which, oh, this is a different one?
That's not,
actually,
that's
not, right here.
Oh, okay. Scott. You have beer, Scott.
Oh.
That's the bottle we have open.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And what do you, if so, what do you attribute that to?
Honestly, I just get it from our Brett. In primary, it throws a lot of fruit character in secondary, or just co-pitch. We get tons of funk. But this beer, it started off, original idea was just for a really funky Brett Saison, and threw in the native microflora to see where it would take it, and it completely changed it and brought it into where it is now.
Added some acidity, which was unexpected but welcome, and it's not a ton of acidity. I think it's complimentary, and I love this beer. You nailed it, Andrew.
That's great.
Thank you.
Ciao.
How close do you get to, like, I mean, is it your goal? Like, okay, so you say you aged and conditioned it for 4 months.
Yeah.
So did that exceed your expectations? Were you expecting 4 months? Because I know you're not going like, okay, it's going to be 4 months, and then you go by taste, how it's coming along the way, right? So it was 4 months what you about thought?
To some extent, just knowing where our cultures go, yes. However, I was also just monitoring along the way, and when it tasted great, I would hope it would reach stability so we could actually package it and then go from there.
And, well, the reason I'm asking is because I'm sure it would really help pros to be able to be, like, as predictive as possible for timelines, right? And some of these things are not predictable, right? Because you're just kind of going by taste, and it's either ready or it's not.
I mean, early on for us, it was a lot of guessing and just waiting and seeing. Now that we've used our same cultures for quite a while, we can kind of predict where they're going to end, and we will know, like, how long it'll take. We may know where they'll finish out, and it'll reach stability so it's ready to package. However, from there, although it may be ready to package or quote unquote safe, we'll go from there and just go into sensory and package it when we think it's right at its best point.
But in the bottle, it takes on, you know, many different forms and takes quite a while to really get to where it's at. And I think this beer's still getting better.
Oh yeah, it's definitely continuing to evolve.
How long has it been in the bottle so far, this particular
October.
One?
This has been in the bottle since October of 2017.
Okay. Yeah. And how have you guys, you know, just by your own palate and memory, how have you seen this one change over time? And, or two questions at once. When was the first time that it was like, okay, this beer is done? When did you release it, actually?
In October, after it had been about 4 months, it had taken its turn from this absurdly funky Saison into this really subtle and nuanced mixed fermentation beer with a light acidity and funk, and brought some of the bright Saison esters back in. We thought it was ready for packaging, put it to package. And initially it was great, but now it's been in bottle for quite some time. The acidity's rounded off a bit, and there's a lot more like subtle, earthy nuance to the Brett character, and really like where it's going.
So how long from,
oh, sorry,
you put it in the bottle to, okay, this is ready to actually sell, we're going to start selling this beer?
It was about, I want to say, 3.5-4 months.
Okay.
Most of our beers, I mean, we're getting carbonation within 1 to 2 weeks, but then afterwards,
thanks to you, Jay.
Thanks to the pod.
Yes.
The pod.
What specifically? Let's reiterate what that was that helped you guys achieve that.
The pod. Oh, you mean? Oh, sorry.
I think it was like the terminal acid. Way of bottle conditioning. That's huge. That was huge for us when we started doing that, because we had struggled over the years with bottle conditioning, and I think once we started blending the beer and kind of making sort of a starter before bottle conditioning, it really, I mean, you can probably comment more on that, but it seemed like it was much more predictable and easier to achieve carbonation.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, that's been a common thread along the way. You know, we started with Dr. Matt Bachman, and he worked with Upland Brewery. We had Chase Healy, American Solera, on the show. Through some of the Rare Barrel shows, our quality manager, Jenna, outlined our process. We have a blog post written by Jenna on our website that outlines it quite a bit. But what have you guys kind of taken, not what have you taken from that, where have you taken that and gone your own way? What have you molded to your own process that maybe could benefit some of the brewers out there who are doing the same thing?
I don't know if it's the smartest path to take what we've done. We started off with using the terminal acid shock method, and from there we've actually completely changed it to, rather than preparing our bottle conditioning almost wine yeast, now we've switched completely to using our house bred blend to condition, and we don't test viability or vitality prior to pitching. It's just this brink that we continually feed and pull off of, and it's always continually in a state of fermentation, and it's worked out well for us thus far. Now we still get the same turnaround time in bottle, and
Well, I think it could contribute additional complexity.
Definitely, yeah.
And as well. So I think it's, I would almost prefer that, you know.
100%. One of the reasons why we switched to the Brett as well is that I wanted to have the option to be able to pull bottle dregs from our bottles, not just for ourselves, but for consumers as well, if they would like to do that. Because before, I didn't feel comfortable even trying to use the bottles as a new source once the wine yeast was in there.
Couldn't agree more, and that's kind of where we're going with it, too. Very recently, we're using our sour cellar kind of primary fermentation yeast blends. That's usually Saccharomyces and Brett. So more of like the slurry yeast instead of the dry packets of yeast, and seeing great results until this past week. So we're working on that. We had a few bad viability counts in a row. You know, perhaps those would have been okay to go anyway, but it's kind of like we are taking the counts, so might as well like actually believe in them and totally. Say no. You know, sometimes you're like, man, okay, this consumed all the sugar overnight and it's bubbling, so it can ferment sugar in the presence of sour beer, but then we say no because of the viability. It kind of hurts a little bit a couple times in a row.
You're like, why are we measuring this? We should have just gone for it.
Just
go for it.
It's obviously working, right? And there's other times where for us, it's we've counted like a little bit on the edge of viability and it's been okay. But at the same time, that there's a lot at stake. I would say we're an all sour brewery, and the ones we were talking about this earlier when we were at the Rare Barrel, the batches for us that get delayed kind of kill us. It's not like the easiest to switch over to business for a second. It's not the easiest business to run. Are you listening to Mad Men out there? Okay.
007? Is that James Bond soundtrack?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
The Brewing Network headquarters has all kinds of good music on all the time.
Great stuff. What was I saying? Bottle condition? Yeah.
The business side.
Yeah, so the business side is like, one batch doesn't re-ferment in the bottle, we're done. Not done, but like...
It hurts.
It hurts. It's a gut punch. Not to say it isn't for a brewery that makes, you know, clean side beer and has these occasional batches, but there's a lot of risk there. And then also I've gotten to know the nature of being on this podcast, where it's like, I think there's a couple of good things we do, which we can float ideas out there and talk about it almost like a sour beer version of TED Talks, where it's like, hey, what if we could do this and that and this and that? And people, you know, can listen to it and be like, oh, I can solve that, someone out there. And that's great. But then other times it's like, oh, I said this one thing once and now I'm like trying to correct it for years after that. So I think you just got to be like careful about the incremental changes we do and the recommendations we make, basically. That was rambling, but
that was great.
Makes sense. Hey, Beav, I have something for the more information. Could you look up if any TED Talks have ever been given about beer? And if so, like, what was the topic? TED Talks. You know what TED Talks are, right?
TED Talks, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You look it up online. It's a platform where someone gets up on a stage and they're wearing the little headset with the microphone and they talk on some topic.
I got it.
Yeah.
But about what? Beer?
Yeah, if any of them have been about beer.
And when you can't find those, just find your favorite, and then that's what we'll talk about.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. How are we doing on time?
We're good.
Basically, we're just going to stretch out the show. So, anyone listening?
We can keep going on that.
Are any Hill family members listening right now?
Possibly. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
May or may not be intentionally stretching out the show so you cannot go home and see your children.
I don't think I'd make it back in time anyway.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. All right. Let's maybe do a question and then get to a break.
Sure.
Quick one. Or let's tease out the question. and then get to a break. But first, I want to thank the Wine and Hop Shop. WineandHop.com is where to get your sour beer, wild yeast, and bacteria from Omega Yeast and Giga Yeast. Well, that was good. Most items are going to ship within 24 hours, and best of all, BN listeners in the continental United States get a flat $8 shipping rate on orders under 25 pounds. Just enter BN shipping in the notes field of the shopping cart, and the discount will be taken off after checkout. The Wine and Hop Shop, wineandhop.com.
You know what we can tease, Jay? You know what I have from Wine and Hop?
Go ahead, tease away. I have their beer
from their new brewery.
What?
Yes, in-house. It's in the cold box.
Is the brewery in Madison?
I believe so.
Man, they're going to make a killing. College Town? Boom.
Yeah. So it's in the
Wisconsin?
Cold box.
Wisconsin? Boom. Beer and cheese? Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, so quick question. We'll tease it out, and then we'll drink some more beer that isn't Yeast of Eden.
Okay. Exactly. And actually, it's Ken from Michigan whose question it is.
You're teasing who it's from?
Yeah.
All right.
He's from Michigan, so you know it's going to be good.
Well, all right. We're going to leave it there.
Yeah, let's do that.
A question from Michigan right after the break. This is the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff, Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Hey, this is Jeremy from Brewery to Rue. You're listening to the Sour Hour on the Brewing Network. My man, Money Free.
Gotta text Jeremy and say that this was the bed. It was like on his liner. Is that good? Is that proper terms?
The liner.
This was the bed, though. This is underneath his liner.
This rejoin was underneath his liner.
Rejoiner.
Yes.
Okay.
They're interchangeable.
Okay.
For this context.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Nailing it.
He's a freak of the industry. I figured it was appropriate.
No comment. Speaking of no comment, I got a comment on Oregon Fruit Products, Scott.
Yes.
Their aseptic purees are easy to use and convenient to store with no additives. None. Nor artificial flavors. Maybe I should change that. It's simply great expression of the raw fruit. I'm just here for myself right now.
We love Oregon Fruit.
They love working with Alvarado Street / Yeast of Eden.
That drum life.
Now with drums and like totes,
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah.
So
like
big
four drums on a pallet, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. That's clean side, Andrew.
They're helping us innovate. Check them out, fruitforbrewing.com. Oregon Fruit, they bring fruit to life.
See, it's really the ultimate plug. Our guests are making terrific beer, and they're working with Oregon Fruit. What more do you need to know?
We've had a lot of that. I mean,
yeah,
Oregon Fruit. Although they should absolutely continue to sponsor this show, gets a lot of free pub at the same time,
yeah,
I would say.
Sure.
On our show.
Definitely.
That's what I'm saying.
We should also pay off the...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, also, the... Oh, no, go ahead. You stepped on my transition.
And now, more information with me, Beverly Moore.
Can we have some
talk? Wait, now it's confusing, Scott.
Well, I wanted to move the show somewhere else.
The listener doesn't know that we just had a face-off. Who was going to talk first? I'll be the host and talk about it.
We had a duel.
The bigger man, if you will.
Silent duel.
We have Wine and Hop Shop's brewery.
Yes.
Their beer, a Brute IPA open.
This is Working Draft Beer Company, Wine and Hop's new spot is called. They sent us some crowlers. And yeah, this one is a Future Tense Brut IPA, and it was a bottle just, or sorry, it was crowlered? What do you, how do you, what is the verb for filling a crowler?
Packaged?
Packaged?
That's okay. Lame.
Packaged off your draft
crowler system? Packaged, I'll go with that.
Crowler, filled.
It was packaged just about a week ago.
Can you guys, I mean, I'm not an IPA brewer, can you guys explain what Brut IPA is real quick?
Brut's pretty hot right now, at least in the Bay Area, I believe.
Some say we invented it.
Yeah, I think Kim from Social Kitchen.
By we, I mean Kim.
Yeah. Tim at Cellarmaker made a fantastic one, and then I think they collaborated with Temescal on a really nice Brut, and Drake's is making some nice Brut IPAs. I think basically you want to utilize an enzyme that sort of converts all your sugars to very simple sugars and allows your yeast to fully attenuate the beer down to zero.
Gotcha.
It turns it into a Brett almost, a quick Brett.
Yeah, quick Brett.
Super attenuator.
Yeah.
And it just gets it super dry is the idea.
Yeah, it finishes actually below zero sometimes. Like, I think we did just did a brew and it finished at, like, -0.4. I didn't even know that was possible. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's something to do with, like, the alcohol makes it more dense or less dense. I always go the wrong way with that.
Oh.
So it goes into negatives. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of great brewers are doing it. You see, this is what like the late night hosts do. They like shuffle their papers when they're letting the while they let the joke land.
This is why brewingnetwork.com/TV is where you can see Jay
stop it
stacking his papers after a dad joke.
Then you get
Oh my god!
Well, and then you got to look at your band leader. You got to shoot him a knowing glance.
Yep. Hey, come to Portland. I'll be there June 28th through 30th for Bevo. What's it called?
HomebrewCon.
Hashtag HomebrewCon. That's what this episode is brought to you by, aka the National Homebrewers Conference, aka the best beer event in the world. This year, HomebrewCon heads to Portland, Oregon, aka a lot of AKAs, aka Beervana. HomebrewCon features brewing seminars, one by me. A trade show with the latest homebrew technology and fun nighttime events. That's what I'll be concentrating on. That celebrate the awesome community of homebrewers. HomebrewCon is June 28th through June 30th. It's going to be hot. Visit homebrewcon.org to register.
Should we do this question that we teased before the break?
Oh, yeah. It's from Michigan, you guys.
Yes, it is. So you know it's going to be good. This is from Ken. Ken is in Ferndale, Michigan. He says, I have a few 8-gallon barrels that I'm using for sours. I had primary Saccharomyces fermentation finish in a glass carboy. Then I racked to the barrel and added Brett and bugs. If I am emptying a barrel and refilling it right away or within a day or two, should I be giving the barrel a rinse clean before refilling? While I obviously want the residual of Brett and bugs left in the barrel for the next beer, I was concerned leaving too much residual yeast in the barrel might lead to some autolysis off flavors or maybe something else that I'm not aware of.
I have a lot to say about this, so I will let our guests go first.
We're not hesitant to refill a barrel without dumping the lees or yeast or whatever is left behind. However, after several fills, we will dump and rinse. I think a little bit can't hurt. If you were looking to use that as inoculate, also the Brett will scavenge some of that. And I think it can create some fun flavors. In our fooders that are 20 barrels, significantly larger than a, 8-gallon barrel?
Yes.
We haven't fully emptied those yet and just allow the yeast load to build up and haven't had any issues thus far, knock on wood.
Well, you may have significantly more yeast in an 8-gallon vessel than you would in a fooder.
That's what I was just trying to. Sorry, I like kind of looked off and I was like, oh, is there any difference there? But isn't it just the same concentration?
Right.
That's what I was imagining. But
right. Why would there be a volume difference?
It's more just like a surface.
Surface area.
Exactly.
Yeah, surface to volume ratio. So if autolysis is related to like contact, maybe. Then maybe that might be a factor. But yeah, no, I agree with what Andrew was saying. You know, I think we did a lot of that early on at the rare barrel. And then we kind of realized, okay, well, we're not getting autolysis, but some of these are getting more sour than we want them to, or maybe there's like a little bit of sulfur going on. That probably had some other reasons related to that as well. So our beer got more sour than we wanted it to. And then we just heavily invested in all these barrel treatment pieces of equipment. Then we had all the options. And so sometimes we would do, it's basically, I don't know, like looking at a menu kind of. So you could refill the barrel without doing anything. And that's going to get you this. And, you know, for us at this point, that's like, well, it's going to be a strong inoculant of whatever beer you're going to put in there. Next step would be to probably do a cold rinse. So just your regular cold liquor filtered and rinse it through. If you don't have a barrel rinser, you can always just put some water in there and, you know, not full, but just, you know, slosh around it a little bit. And if you're not strong enough to slosh it around, then you're not as strong as me. So, hashtag strength. Sorry, there was a guy laughing outside. And I was like, just imagining him. He's like, oh, he's listening to the show too. And he loved that terrible joke.
Let's see a paper stack.
Yeah. So, yeah, next level up. Sorry. You know, cold rinse. And so you're not killing anything, but you're generally getting a lot of the total population out of the barrel. That worked great, I think. And I think over time, that's a happy medium for most programs, most kind of barrel sellers of the people who are listening and our question asker as well.
What was Ken. His
name? Ken. I think that will work out well. Nice balance. And then everything past that is like you're trying to inhibit the culture. So from the homebrew level, 8-gallon oak barrel, I mean, take your pasta pot, fill it up with water, boil water, put it in the barrel, leave it in there for 15 minutes or look up, you know, the kind of like the CO2 chart. There's like a sanitizing chart. This temperature for this time on this surface is quote unquote sterile. Can't sterilize a barrel, but follow that and then you'll have a clean barrel. Might want to cool it down with some cold water after that, filtered. And then everything past that is basically on a, like a pro brew level, whether you're dealing with harsh chemicals, which I personally don't recommend. Speaking of changes from early in the sour hour, when we talked about that quite a bit. And then we use ozone and a steam machine. So that's kind of the rundown of barrel treatment, which is one of the more common questions we get asked for sure is, you know, how do you treat your barrels.
Yeah,
basically.
Sure. And, well, so. And to put a fine point on it, you didn't quit using potassium and bisulfite because it was ineffective. You just found a more ideal way. Is that fair to say?
Depends on your definition of ineffective, I guess. I mean, we were blind tasting and picking out which barrels had potassium and bisulfite.
Oh, I see.
Sort of what Andrew and I were referencing, which had just been refilled on a yeast slurry or cold rinsed or something like that. They were able to be refilled immediately versus, ooh, you know what? We really don't have beer to put in this quite yet, so we need to put the storage solution in there. We could always pick them out, and we dumped quite a few barrels from that process. And, you know, after that, it's kind of like, well, you know, do we have the money to invest in this expensive equipment? Not really, but what if we had all those beers and they were good? Well, then we would, so... You know, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet in the brewing business and kind of put some money in there, which is tough as a business owner.
Are you referencing, are you guys using ozone now?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the SO3? I was right. I was noticing.
No, okay.
What's
now
that?
I'm embarrassed. So, so we write on our barrels as a shorthand, not the like periodic chemistry. Well, half of it is. So we write SO3. Which means steam and ozone. So the O3 is actually, that is ozone.
Uh-huh.
That is the chemistry correct term for ozone. S is just like, we just want to call it steam. But really,
sulfur trioxide.
Yeah, not sulfur.
I was like, what is that?
And then you usually see like SO2
right.
or something like that. And it's like, oh, that's our H2S, you know. It's like, oh, sulfur. But no, we don't use sulfur at all anymore, despite what all of our barrels say on the outside in chalk.
I think we heard that on the Sour Hour, and we did some storage solution with potassium metabisulfite and couldn't get the sulfur smell out. We're like,
sorry.
No, we couldn't.
It's okay.
It's all your fault.
Jay, poisoning the well.
Pretty much. I mean, sometimes I feel bad. Like, that's, you know.
You shouldn't, though.
A black mark.
People got to figure it out and, you know.
It was, like, the best knowledge at the time. Right. And you know what? In a weird way, I hope that's not the last time it happens. It doesn't make me feel that good. But if there's, like, a big improvement out there that we all can make, and it's just, like, oh, the worst thing is it's embarrassing to listen to older podcasts. I mean, that's the podcast format. It's a slice of time. And it's like what I was saying before when we teased more information with Beverly Moore.
She woke up.
TED Talks. You know, I view this show as, you know, we're talking about our beers and your processes eventually.
Exactly. We'll get there.
I mean, we're in a roundabout way getting to it, but the TED Talk part where it's like, you know, you guys are talking about your processes where you're saying, hey, you know, we're starting with the open fermentation in the fooder, and then we're doing our captured cool ship culture, and it's like, oh, you know, I know there's people listening who are like, oh, okay, it's actually like kind of a cool hybrid of the traditional, you know, kind of Belgian. I am like going hot out into a cool ship. Well, maybe I'll just do that sort of once on a small scale, grow that up, see how it is, do my open ferment so I still get some of the natural atmosphere, and then I move on from there and do, you know, my Brett culture, and it's really cool how you guys layer that in. That's where I see the TED Talk part where it's like, do you guys know for sure that that's the best way to do it? No, of course not. Right. No one does, but we're just trying to lay a lot of options out there and go from there.
And everything is just as of now, like you said, yeah. You know, I mean, it's the best information available at the time, or it's the practice you were using at the time that you found to be the most effective until you found other more effective, whatever. It's the nature of the medium, you know? I mean, I totally understand why you feel, you know, weird about it. I want to take back every painting I made 5 years ago that's on someone's wall. Give me that back. It sucks. But it's just the nature of the beast, you know? People are hearing the Rare Barrel experiment unfold in real time, and the experiments of all of our awesome guests over the years. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's going to happen sometimes. It's inevitable. It's okay. It's part of the dissemination of information.
And one day, Yeast of Eden will be on the show, and they'll tell us all about their beers.
I greatly look forward to it. I hear they're good.
But yeah, speaking of information, let me interrupt more Yeast of Eden talk with someone we have to pay off. More information with Beverly Moore.
And now, more information with me, terrible. Beverly Moore.
Up to you if it's terrible.
Yeah, let's hear it. Well, let's hear it.
Now, the question was, are there any TED Talks on craft beer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, yes. The answer is yes.
Oh. Okay.
And
I would have said no.
One,
in fact, I did.
You did. Greg, yeah, you definitely did.
Done as a July 1st, 2014, four awesome TED Talks about craft beer from Paste Magazine.
Go Paste.
Yeah.
One done by my personal favorite, Sam Calagione.
Ah, Dogfish?
Is it Calagione or Calagione?
Calagione.
It's unclear.
Whatever.
He's the man.
Fine.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's hot.
One about the cult. His is about the history, like looking to history for current beer making.
Yeah, right. With the chewing of the corn and the spitting, like the TV show. Yeah. He had his whole staff like chew corn, right, and then spit it into the fermenter or something.
That's all they do, actually.
Go on.
Chris.
Shout out to Dogfish.
One about the culture of beer. Imbeer your city for fun and profit. Zen and the art of craft beer.
What?
Does it say the deliverers of these talks?
Chad Henderson was Zen and the Art of Craft Beer. Imbeer Your City for Fun and Profit was Ethan Cox. Culture of Beer is from John Barley.
Hmm.
And then Looking Backward to Build the Future, Sam Calagione.
Okay. Do we know any of the other names?
Do we?
John Barley sounds fake. It's a pseudonym.
Tim Beer. That's going to be my name in my next life.
This has been
More Information with me, Beverly Moore.
Yay!
More Information with Beverly Moore. just like the sound of one hand clapping.
Okay, wait. Did we actually only do one beer in this segment? One Yeast of Eden beer? Sorry.
We have another one open right here.
Send that over. The show's not over. Yes, it isn't. I want to make sure we get to it.
So this next one is yet to be unreleased. It's our grisette that we're thinking of calling Family Miner. It's our approach to grisette, in which we kind of took it as a more industrial take to saison. It's about 60% of the grist is malted and unmalted wheat, and a little bit of spelt. Once again, open fermented in our open top oak fooder, blend of saison yeast, our house Brettanomyces blend, and then two of our different mixed cultures, one of which is the culture from the first beer we had, Saison Apotheca, our now native saison culture, and our original mixed culture, which we begun with, which was a sourced from bottle dregs, blended and grown up, a blend of lab cultures mixed in, and native microflora as well. All those came together.
And green glass.
Yes, this beer will be our first beer released in green glass, which is the new format we're moving to.
Oh, across the board.
Yes.
No kidding.
Wow.
This has the same sort of Pez candy quality that the first beer did in my palate. Mm-hmm. And so it does make me think that it is probably coming from the Brett.
So I think there's a lot going on. More and more American, and this is, all right, if you're in Belgium, turn off your pod waivers. More and more, I think American sour beers are constantly reminding me of Belgian Goose and Lambic. And I think there are not like, you know, apples to apples, but there's flashes and components here and there. Both of these first two beers definitely have a lot of that for me. I think the Pez thing in the first one, those cultures, that interaction, chalky citrus thing.
I almost attribute like a bit of a river rock kind of minerality.
Excellent. Yeah, definitely.
Good descriptor.
Yeah. And I think that reminds me a lot of those beers. And now with this one, you know, we were talking, there's a little hop character. I think you said Saaz and Tetnang.
Correct. Yes.
And
Saaz, get on your brother. Yeah, love that Saaz.
Love Saaz. But I think when it comes to, and speaking of things on this show, where, you know, we're in a different place now than we used to be. You know, early on, no hopping. Now, hops super driving the flavor of sour beer, in our opinion. I'm just speaking of the rare barrel more than people who are coming on the show, but I also think we're being reinforced by people coming on the show. There's so much awesome interaction, I think, between hops and Brett. And, you know, this has been pioneered by, like, Crooked Stave and the years before and tons of other breweries, but and the Belgian brewers and blenders. But this one really reminds me a lot of that, and it's great. And
I think
maybe the green bottle is also, you know, building on that a little bit more with some kind of funk aspect to it. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think these have seen the sunlight really yet, but
this bottle, just because you guys are on the Central Coast and you have the marine layer doesn't mean you don't see this. Oh, no, the bottles. Okay.
Yeah, there's no sun right now.
We were in Berkeley and it was like our first sunny day, maybe in like six. It's like, oh, man, you guys got that. What's it called? Sun? What do they call it?
You got
the sun here.
The big bright orb in the sky. Yeah, it comes out every now and then up here.
Yeah.
So, but
go for the surf, scuba, and beer, but tan?
No sun.
Maybe not so much.
Quite true.
Yeah. Let me ask this probably dumb question. Does it need to be sunlight? Does any form of light have some effect, even if it's minute?
UV.
Yeah, any UV. Yeah. Right, so UV comes from, it comes from what, like fluorescent lights? There are other lights that emit
UV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm saying like maybe it did have, even if it didn't, you know, sit out in the sun for 20 minutes or 20 hours or whatever, even just the fact that it's in a green bottle at all is probably affecting the beer, even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah, probably that's pretty minimal. It's been in a box. You know, we packed these and put it right into a box.
Okay,
so
okay.
It sits in a warehouse, so.
I mean, also, prior to fully committing to green glass, I did some trials where we would have some in the same beer in amber and green glass and sit it outside or even just walk it outside and bring it back. And for the hopping rate we've been using, it's the difference we've noticed has been fairly minimal. And when it is there, it's not, I don't feel like it's detracting from the actual beer. So went with green
complexity.
Glass. Exactly. Went with green glass for that reason. And also it's a kind of selfish romantic notion of first coming to Saison when it was in green glass bottles, mm-hmm. and just calling back to that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Do you taste that?
Yeah.
Story you just told in this beer, which I think is why this is so special and also just tastes good. So,
thank you.
It is fantastic. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on this show. I think I have, that there was a Pepsi and Pepsi commercials in the 90s where they used to do blind taste testing of Pepsi versus Coke, mm-hmm. and their big pitch, they ran it for years. The mm-hmm. big thing was like, hey, in blind taste tests, like 8 out of 10 people prefer Pepsi, so now you know that's why you should buy Pepsi. But it was kind of a dumb premise, because when people know what they're drinking, they prefer Coke, and nobody drinks cola with a blindfold, so your point is pointless, right? So I guess I'm just going on what you're saying about
how Andrew's point is pointless?
I'm saying everything is pointless except other people's beer. All right, here. So here we have open from Wine and Hop Shop. Let's pour another one of their beer. What I'm saying is, like, even if...
You totally got me on that. I was like, Scott, what are you talking about?
What I'm saying is that...
That was Scott on the paper shuffle this time.
It's letting it land. Even if the green bottle did nothing, which it measurably does something, but let's say it went straight into a box, it never saw any light, and then went straight into a dark, cold box, and then somebody drank it. Just the fact that it was in a green bottle visually would change how their palate perceived it, and that is valuable, even if it's not blindly perceivable.
Very true.
Or intentional, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A little cynical. Scott, well, let me ask you, did you taste them blind?
I did not.
So that'd be cool. You know, then we can do a Coke versus Pepsi.
Yep.
Green bottle versus brown bottle.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do it next time.
Maybe.
Come back for one more episode, you guys?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, you're here, so you're not.
Yeah, you might as well.
Well, thank you for coming in, and the beers are great. Go try them. Yeast of Eden, Alvarado Street. Award winners. Awesome. I'm going to keep talking so you can't say thank you. Thanks to the sponsors.
Thank you, listeners.
Thanks to our guests. Until next time.
Thank you.
Stay sour. A lot of great brewers are doing it.